say good morning to my guest, Lorenzo Santos. He is running for the first U.S. congressional seat in Wisconsin, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Move closer to that microphone. I want to hear every single word you have to say. I don't want to miss one word today. And let's give a little background. You're 36 years old.
Yes.
In the prime of life. By the way, just so you know, I've been through that. It's all downhill from here. All right. 36 is the pick. There you go.
Oh, yeah?
He's just going to fall off the cliff as soon as you hit 40. No, I'm only kidding. Anyway, so tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, what you've been doing.
Yeah, so my name is Lorenzo Santos. I've been living in downtown Racine since 2018. I'm a military brat, so, you know, I've grown up living all over the country. I even lived in Japan as a child. I've lived in Rhode Island, Maryland, Virginia, all over. I was active duty in Norfolk, moved here in 2018, and started as a regional sales rep for a major manufacturer. So I actually represented about 12 different states that I would travel to. And then after I did that for a few years, I transitioned from regional sales to emergency management. And I've been doing that ever since, and been engaged in politics ever since.
Yeah, you followed David Mack in emergency management because he was there for years.
Yeah,
he did that for years. And now he causes emergencies instead of just, you
know, alerting. He does a lot of good.
I know he does. I love David. Okay, so you're running for the first U.S. congressional seat.
Yes.
Is this your first time you ever ran for office?
This isn't. So I've actually run for Congress before. I ran in the last cycle, and I ended up leaving that race to support a great public servant. His name is Peter Barca.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a tremendous race for us. Learned a lot from that experience. I also did run for county executive.
Why do people put themselves through this running for an office, especially a big office like Congress?
Yeah.
Why do you put yourself through it? Everyone's going to be examining you.
Right.
They're going to go through you. Oh, let's see. In the fourth grade, oh, he got a D in math in the fourth. They're going to be looking back at you. They're going to find everything, every possible little pimple in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You don't mind that, huh?
Well, I think it's important to know who the people that want to represent you are. I think it's important to, you know, put yourself forth for that kind of scrutiny. That's all right. And frankly, I wish we would have done that a little bit more with some of the people that are in elected office right now, but I have no problem with that, and I welcome it.
You're a veteran?
I am.
Now, which branch of the service?
I was in the Navy.
No, my dad was a Navy tail gunner for 4 years during World War II.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Fellow Navy. Now, you were on a ship?
I was on a guided missile destroyer, the USS Oscar Austin.
See, my dad was a tail gunner in a plane for 4 years, and my friends growing up, oh, he was in the Air Force. I said, no, he's in the Navy. They have planes. Yeah. No, they don't. They have ships. I said, my dad was in the Navy.
Right?
They do have planes. I don't know. They still have planes.
Oh.
All right. Emergency management. Where'd you go to college?
So I went to, for undergrad, the Naval Academy in Annapolis, Maryland.
Wow.
And for my master's, I went to University of George Washington. I actually did that, you know, COVID was starting. I got to do that online.
And where are you from originally? I don't know if you said it already.
So all over. The place that I lived in the most
as a child
was Virginia.
Where were you born in Virginia?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So a Virginian.
Well, Wisconsinite.
Wisconsin.
This is truthfully the longest I've lived anywhere in my entire life.
And where do you live now in Wisconsin?
So downtown Racine.
Oh, you live right there. Okay, yeah. Local yokel. Okay,
right there between the two bridges.
I probably pass your house every day.
A lot of folks do.
Yeah,
I'm right on Main Street.
So. I live on Main, so I pass your house every day. If I would have known that, I would have waved this morning, but I didn't do that. Okay, so why do you want to run for office? Why run for the first U.S. congressional? That's a big deal. I mean, that's Congress.
Yeah, it's a big deal. But what we're seeing is an even bigger deal. We're seeing a Congress and an administration that is forgetting the big things. They're forgetting that working people are struggling. They're not concentrating on how to make sure that we're supporting those people. I mean, affordability is a true crisis right now. Healthcare is a part of that crisis. And we've seen this current Congress and the administration vote in a way that is not congruent with supporting working families. They voted for the largest tax cut, one of the largest tax cuts in history for the wealthy and corporations, while also increasing cost on people that are already struggling so that they have less access to healthcare. I have a real problem with that. That does not represent the first district of Wisconsin, and that's hurting everyday families.
Candidate for Wisconsin's first U.S. congressional seat, Lorenzo Santos, is here with me today. Now, do you know who you're running against? Yeah, I know you're running against probably Brian Stile. Did he announce his candidacy yet for re-election?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's been running.
Okay, I didn't know that. Okay, so he's on the Republican side. Do you know who your Democratic opponents are first?
Yes, I have a few, you know.
You don't have to mention them if you don't want.
There are about four or five of them out there.
Everybody wants it.
Well, yeah, it's an important thing to run for.
I don't want it, just so you know.
Sure.
I don't want to deal with people. Probably because I would tell them what I really think. And you can't really do that all the time.
Well, I intend to. Absolutely.
I know, but you got to do it in a special, you got to have finesse when you talk to people. I would come out and say, listen, stupid. And I'd lose that vote right away. Let's talk about the economy. The stock market dropped about 3,000 points. Gas is about $3.50 a gallon now, where it was like $2.50 a gallon a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And now it's up by a dollar. Food prices going up. What do you do about it?
Well, you don't start a war. That's probably the number one thing. You also do not have a wholesale tariff policy that is really another sales tax on consumers that are already hurting. This administration, they have continued to show at every opportunity they have that they do not understand government. They don't understand the economy. One of Trump's biggest tools at his disposal was tariffs. And we saw what that did to prices. It did not help. And now starting a war in Iran, that is a chosen war that we did not have to be in. In fact, he just had a major player in his administration responsible for counterterrorism quit and resign in protest. That shows that there is a huge issue that this administration has with understanding the way the world works. This war is increasing prices. Crude oil, a fifth of crude oil and liquefied natural gas goes through the Strait of Hormuz. Now, having that as a choke point creates a bottleneck. And if we cannot trade, then prices are going to increase. And we know right now it's not completely closed off. This is about diplomacy as much as it is military power. People are allowed or ships are allowed to go through the Strait of Hormuz as long as they're not associated with the United States and Israel. And that's a real problem.
Let's talk about healthcare for a moment, because I want to ask my mother.
Yeah.
And my mother was a very smart woman. She was a real independent, smart woman. She knew what was going on. And I said, what did people do before Medicare for old people? What and before insurance? And what'd they do? Mm-hmm. So they died.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I said, that's it, huh? Right. They died. They couldn't go to the doctor, couldn't afford it. They died.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a believer that everybody should have access to a doctor. You should have. I mean, why, if you're poor and you're not Medicare age yet, what are you supposed to just sit there in agony and die? I mean, I don't know how to handle that. I couldn't do it.
Well, a lot of these policies, we look at, the GOP wants to brand themselves as supposedly for working families. And one of the biggest things they do is they institute a bill that makes it incredibly expensive to have your health insurance, and it skyrockets your health insurance costs, and it actually takes away health insurance for millions of Americans. That's not at all in line with a party that wants to support working families. Now, for business owners, their costs to make sure that their employees have that health care has also skyrocketed. So you're increasing the cost of individuals, of families, and for businesses that are trying to make sure that their employees have these benefits. That's a problem. And meanwhile, you're taking that money out of the hands of working families and you're giving it to people that frankly don't need it. The richest among us, the 1% that have not asked for this, don't need it. And frankly, you're making sure that they have more money when the people that have the least among us are going to struggle. And that's a real problem. That shows a severe disconnect with the struggles of everyday Americans. And I haven't heard Brian Stile come out forcefully enough against it. In fact, he actually voted for the bill that did this. And he's going on these weird side quests about voter fraud that's non-existent instead of focusing on the things that matter, whether it's affordability or health care for everyday Americans.
Let's talk about our democracy. Is it teetering?
It absolutely is. Yes. And part of that is these voter bills that the GOP has instituted, and Brian Stiles is absolutely a part of that. You know, voter fraud is so negligible that it will not have an effect. It does not have any effect on the outcome of our elections. But to try and forward an argument that it is so pervasive that it does, that is a part of lowering the confidence in our democratic structure. At the end of the day, there are only about 32 states in the entire country that do not require a form of ID. Wisconsin requires it. So when Brian Stiles goes out there and he says, oh, there's voter fraud and we need to do something about this, it's not grounded in any reality. It's not grounded in any real data. And frankly, he's wasting everyone's time with legislation that is not serious because it's a distraction.
So when the president wanted to nationalize some of these elections, have the federal government take control of them, I assume that's not what you want.
Well, look, the GOP loves to talk about, you know, states' rights until it doesn't benefit them. They know that they forwarded some of the most unpopular policies in a generation, and now they're trying to fix it by cheating. That's unacceptable, and that's something that they hope that the American people do not recognize and do not do anything about. They are hoping that they do not pay a consequence at the ballot box. I think they know that they will, and I think they see the signs of that wave coming that will happen to include the first district of Wisconsin, and they're doing everything they can to try and mitigate that fact.
Let's talk about our foreign policy. Why do you think we're even at war now? And they don't want to use the word war because then Congress would have had to approve it. Mm-hmm. So they use an encroachment or whatever they're trying to use. And the president keeps forgetting the word. And he throws war in there occasionally.
Yeah.
So why are we at war with Iran?
We are at war because we have an administration that does not understand what they're doing. And that has been at, you know, every level, just about every policy they forwarded. We're at war, frankly, because they're trying to distract away from the real trouble that they're in. Trump loved to put out tweets about, oh, you know, Obama's gonna you know, start a war in the Middle East to distract from the economy. Well, you know, Trump has an economy that is in trouble. And we see that he started this war, which there has been no credible intelligence that there was actually an imminent threat from Iran. And yet we find ourselves striking Iran, not just Iran, but, you know, Venezuela. He's talking about potentially going to Cuba. These are misadventures. These are missteps that are unforced and unnecessary. And he's continuing to just go off on tangents instead of focusing on, this is supposed to be supposedly an America first administration. Why are we halfway around the world killing innocent children? This is a problem. And if Brian Stiles actually cared, he would say something about this. We have to have a Congress that is standing up. Cory Booker just came out forcefully about this. Congress has the authority to hold the executive accountable for its use of military force. The president does have limited authority in this realm, but it must be in a case that we have an imminent threat against the homeland. And there is no credible intelligence saying that was the case. Israel wanted to go and strike Iran. The United States decided that, hey, we should be a part of this. And now we find ourselves in a potentially long-term protracted war. We saw this with, frankly, Vietnam, and we saw this with Iraq and Afghanistan. There is no easy way out of this situation. And oh, by the way, he's also tanking the world economy on his way to doing something that should have never been done in the first place. That's why our allies, whom we should be able to count on, but in this situation, they are seeing what a great miscalculation this is.
And yeah, they want no part of it. NATO's not backing him on
all. No, they're not, and rightfully so.
Let's talk about immigration and ICE and whatever that entails.
Yeah, you know, I'm in emergency management. And emergency management is meant to deal with the worst disasters that this country can face. And we largely do so in the background. But FEMA, TSA, Coast Guard, different organizations that have nothing to do with this fight, they are struggling right now, even CISA. And we have, unfortunately, Iran has a cyber capability, but we're not funding one of our greatest organizations that handles cybersecurity for this country. The FBI is worried more about immigration than it is counterterrorism at a time where, because we are attacking countries around the world, they have awakened their sleeper cells. They're not focused on what the FBI should be doing, which is investigating those potential threats to the homeland. Instead, they've been resourced to worrying about immigration. So again, this administration has shown that they don't understand how government works and how the allocation of these resources should be. So we're in a real situation here where government is not doing what they should be doing, that the mission sets that different organizations should be focused on, they're distracted from. And eventually, that is going to have real consequences that we have not seen yet.
Now, you're going to be in a primary, right?
I'm going to be in a primary.
When's the primary?
So the primary.
I am so confused on these dates.
It's August 11th, so we got a little bit of time. We have a late primary in Wisconsin.
And then the general election is the first Tuesday in November, like always. And this is for the first U.S. congressional seat. This is the one currently held by Brian Stile.
Correct.
And before Brian Stile, it was
Paul Ryan.
Paul Ryan.
Yes. Yeah.
He was up here a lot. He always came into the radio station.
Yeah.
He schlepped out from Janesville to come here. But you live right down the block, so that's kind of nice.
I do.
So you're fully committed.
Fully committed. We're seeing that this administration has not slowed down. They went from protecting people that frankly should be held accountable with these Epstein files. I call them the Epstein administration because really they have shown at every stop that all they want to do is protect people that should be in jail right now. And we've got to make sure that we do not get distracted by all these other things Trump would rather have us focusing on, and we stand up for the victims. You know, that should have been our focus, but he's over here decapitating heads of other countries when apparently, you know, they were supposed to be an America First administration, and now we're halfway around the world. So I would like us very much to get back to focusing on American families, making sure that American workers are taken care of, making sure the American economy is not being destroyed by these outrageous policies. That's what we should be focused on, and that's why I'm running. Brian Stile has not stood up for this, frankly. He's incapable of doing so. He's too afraid to say anything to Donald Trump. These people are, you know, they try to beat their chest and have this confidence, but they're afraid of a damn tweet from Donald Trump.
Give us your website.
So it's LorenzoForCongress.com.
F-O-R.
F-O-R.
LorenzoForCongress.com.
Yes.
Okay. Well, good luck to you, my friend.
Thank you so much.
And I'll wave to you when I go down Main Street.
I appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you very much for coming in. I do appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.